Where is your father?
Gone. We quarreled. Will you pray with me, Jamie?
If I pray nicely, will the father give me a new hand?
No, but the warrior will give you courage, the smith will lend you strength, and the crone will give you wisdom.
It's a hand I need.
Hello and welcome to Two Champs and a Chomp, a Game of Thrones LCG podcast founded in 2010 by Will Lentz, myself, Brett Zeiler, and Greg Atkinson. Major props go out to FFG for putting out a great game, George R. R. Martin for an amazing product, Card Game DB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward to the Creative Commons licensed music you hear today. Welcome to Season 3.
He's fresh out of hands.
It's a nice topical quote. I like it. Though, you know...
Because Daryl cut his hand off last week?
Yes. With Daryl's voice, Lancel somehow does not sound like the frail young man from the books.
Sounds like a sassy black woman.
I was going to go with he sounds more like Donal Noy, or at least how I always imagined Donal to sound.
I don't see it.
Hear it?
I don't see it.
Okay. You're right. I don't see it either. So, I guess this is another episode of Two Champs and a Chump, huh?
I guess it is.
We are uncertain ourselves. We spent so much time reading random other sundries before recording tonight.
My name's Brett Zeiler.
Will Lentz.
Daryl Lloyd.
And we're two champs and one chump, although it's more like one champ and two chumps.
Yeah. Hey, I'm happy to have at least one champ here. I don't know, last week I think was just kind of a fluke that we managed to have the whole crew together for once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not going to happen anytime soon. Again.
No, nope. No.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
It was nice while it lasted.
We just sound like one depressed bunch today. What happened? We were way excited earlier before we started recording.
You mentioned that Greg wasn't here. It made me sad.
Oh, yeah, good point. It probably makes all the listeners pretty sad, too.
Mm-hmm. He's the one they listen for.
Mm-hmm.
Not this week, friends.
Nope, you'll just have to make do with Daryl, guys.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Man.
So we should have exciting stuff this week. We've got lots of news, FFG spoiler articles and whatnot for the next pack, and special, interesting, exciting bonus. Mm-hmm. We've gotten another exclusive spoiler card passed to us from FFG.
Yay.
Wow. That sounded like we just, like, ate Sir Robin's minstrels right there.
That's what I was going for, actually.
There was much rejoicing.
What the
heck? Like, specifically the cannibalism.
Yeah. Well, how about we bring it back around to that exclusive spoiler here from the first chapter pack from the King's Road cycle.
I agree. Let's bring it back around.
Yeah, that's the Banners Gather, right?
Sure.
The chapter pack name.
Sure.
Okay. Well, Brett, how about you lay the card on us? You got that in front of you?
You email it to my work email and I'm at home.
Fair enough. I'll read the cards then.
Okay.
Forgot I had done that. All right. This one is an event. It is House Stark only. It's traded with Siege and Tactic, and it's a limited response. After you win a military challenge, choose and kill any number of characters with higher strength than printed cost that are controlled by the losing opponent. Limit one limited response per round.
God, we can hear your wife whispering, Brett. God damn it.
Mm.
Mute your fucking microphone.
All right. Well, we can go again.
Are you talking to us or her?
Who do you think?
He's talking to Kylie, Daryl.
Oh, no, she's long in bed.
Oh, God. Gotcha.
Okay, so should I read that over then, guys, or?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't really listening.
All right, fair enough. It is a Stark event, breaching the wall. It's House Stark only, siege and tactic, and limited response. After you win a military challenge, choose and kill any number of characters with a higher strength than printed cost that are controlled by the losing opponent. Limit one limited response per round.
You know, that could be really strong. I mean, there's no limit to how many dudes you can kill aside from them being legal targets.
Yeah, holy cow. Like, this could be like a one-sided board wipe depending on, you know, what's going on. Against, like, Boltons. Not that they are super popular, but people like to fiddle around with them. That just crushes those Bolton armies if you can win one military.
I mean, heck, it blows up Northern Cavalry flank, and that's one of Stark's best cards.
Yeah. I mean, Stark in general, like, a lot of folks like to try out, Winterfell Castle, right?
Mm-hmm.
The strength buff.
Yeah, that's right.
Especially out of, like, House of Dreams, and bam, that makes most of your characters probably have strength higher than cost right there.
Mm-hmm.
Fucks wildlings in the ass.
It does.
It does do that. Anyone playing refugee is a restricted card.
If you can win a military challenge against the wildling player, I guess.
Right. I mean, same thing with the Boltons and, you know, Starks in general. Of course, you're obviously playing Stark, so you have some military tricks up your sleeve, too, so you might. But it also gets the Boatswains out of Greyjoy.
Yep, Boatswains and Lost Spearmen.
Mm-hmm.
All of, like, really just efficient characters people love to play that they don't really do anything aside from being cheap with high strength. That just ruins all of them.
It gets Hodor.
It gets the fuck out of Hodor.
You know what else it gets that's pretty interesting? Any of those pesky Martell characters that have an attachment form of, he calls it, thinking stuck on him. Or at least most all.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah. The ones that they generally want to put that strength pump on. You know, and I've been seeing a little bit of the Targ attachment floating around as well.
I haven't seen any of that.
I mean, Greg's been doing it. So, you know, looking at this card brings up an interesting question to my mind. Could we see the refugees unrestricted? I mean, this really reads to me as a, hey, let's bring the refugees under control kind of card.
I don't know. I don't think it's... I don't know. I doubt we'll see the refugees unrestricted just because of this one card.
Yeah. Refugees, I mean, it's all about just a really efficient setup, even, and by that time they've done their damage. I mean...
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can set up a refugee and then use it in, like, a challenge, it's already more than done its job.
Okay. Fair enough. So if its only job is setup, then did most people just replace refugees with like zero cost locations
or zero cost characters?
There's still a few of those floating around. This also owns Jalabarzo, or not Jalabarzo? Sorry, Brown Ben Plum.
Oh yeah, Brown Ben Plum.
The most broken card in the game. Finally, we have a way to stop Brown Ben Plum. I'm serious, man. It kept me up at night. I was like, he's too good. He's unique. Has a military icon. Jesus.
And two strength? I mean...
Yeah. Broken.
For zero cost?
Jeez.
You don't see deals like that every day.
That's probably the main reason that they even created this card. You know?
Yeah, Damon, that's what they called it, Damon, like the anti-Brown Ben Plum.
Yeah, Damon and Nate got together, and they called Mr. Christensen in, and they had, like, this serious roundtable meeting. Brown Ben Plum is broken. We need to do something.
And restricting was not an option.
No, it wasn't. It's the only restricted card people would ever play.
Yeah. Well, they talked about banning it, but there'd just be too much of an uproar from the community.
There would. The Brown Ben Plum fans would then have to band together with the Without His Beard fans,
mm-hmm.
and it would be brutal. There would be blood in the streets.
Yeah.
Rioting.
Rioting in front of the FFG offices.
Oh, man.
We are funny guys.
We have perked up a little since the intro. I'm glad our initial depression didn't last. So, general final thoughts then. Yay or nay? I'm definitely yay. I think this is going to be pretty strong.
Yeah, I'm digging it, especially because Stark doesn't really have any other limited responses that it's really competing against. I mean, yeah. Icy Catapult is the only other one I can even think of, and that doesn't see play ever. So,
yeah, I definitely think it'll have its application. I mean, I don't really know what else to say about that. I don't know, whenever that set drops, what else is going to be in it, if it's going to really affect cards in that cycle. But as of right now, it's kind of eh. But I can see it getting better. Or maybe even some crazy strategy, like trying to bump your opponent's characters up to try and crush them.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that actually would be pretty interesting. Isn't there a Stark attachment that you can move around that grants strength?
Northern Steel? Is that the one where you...
No, I think it's a zero cost.
Oh, the cash.
Yeah.
Oh, Winter Cash, yeah.
Winter Cash. Yeah. Oh, that card also fucks Lanny Tunnels in the ass.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yes, it does.
If you can win a military still.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But you're Stark. You're going to win that military. Come on.
I'm looking at Winter Cash right now. It's actually perfect to combine with this card. Okay, zero cost attachment, item, attached character gets +1 strength. After attached character leaves play, you may attach Winter Cash to another character instead of placing it in your discard pile.
Yeah.
Pump them up, take out the key character along with maybe a Chud or two, and then Winter Cash gets to move somewhere else on there, so if you've got another one in hand, or move it over to your guys for strength buffs after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty neat.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be how good it'll be, but it's neat.
Oh yeah, I mean it's not going to be game breaking, but it looks cool. So, officials?
Speaking of spoilers, we have spoilers that everyone can see.
Mm-hmm. A plethora of spoilers.
A cornucopia of spoilers.
Ooh, I like it.
A hobbit of spoilers.
That's not a thing.
That didn't make sense. How about a Samwell Tarly of spoilers?
There's a lot of Samuel Charlie.
Yeah.
Sure. I like Hobbit more.
Okay. So, one of you guys pick out our first card here, then, since I just read that one.
I still have to pull it up.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up also.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna delegate this then. To Daryl as the first one who admitted he didn't have it open.
All right, I've got mine here.
Am I the only one that preps for these episodes at all beforehand?
Absolutely. The only way I prepped is by getting beer.
I was prepped, but then I ended up going to different web pages.
All right.
That's what tabs are for.
Yeah, our internet's not the best when Alicia, Kylie, and I are all on at the same time.
So the first card that I'm looking at here on the FFG site that's spoiled is Ygritte. And if any of you have seen the show, that chick is hot. Anyways.
Still found out, Matt.
Yeah.
Sure. So
she was a maid.
All right.
Who had dreams higher than her station.
Sounds hot.
She wanted to be a secretary.
So she's unique. She's neutral. She's cost 3. With 2 strength, a military and power icon, and the wildling trait. And she says, response, after you play Ygritte from your hand, choose and take control of a neutral or Night's Watch character until Ygritte leaves play.
Or Brotherhood.
Yeah, I mean, Barrack is just boned. Even if you get Barrack back when Ygritte leaves play via, say, I don't know, Venomous Blade, which is commonly played in Martell Brotherhood decks. Like, all they have to do is wait till they have enough power on their house to win the game when they take Barrack.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. You might have a He Calls It Thinking in your hand, but you have to. Or you just straight lose the game right then and there. And that really sucks, you know? It just makes playing Brotherhood at all too big of a gamble.
Yeah. But she sure is cool.
She's cool. Looking at her art, does she remind you guys of Ragdoll from the Secret Six?
I could absolutely see that, actually.
Yeah, I was really confused when I saw it at first.
Also, as far as the art goes, I don't know why she's carrying an axe instead of, like, a spear.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she's an axe wife.
Maybe. But I know. I mean, she opens up a lot of cool trait manipulation. You know, giving guys a Night's Watch trait with Songs of Bale the Bard or a Copper Link or something, and then you just steal them.
Yeah, yeah, and the great thing being, unlike something like Horn of Dragons, they don't go back.
Nope.
The phase. They gotta kill your grit first.
Man, so her in a, like a summer, like a Targ summer encampment deck to, oh wait, no, once you return to play, you could still do some shit.
Yeah, yeah, you could do some things.
You could do some shit.
So. You could take characters over and over, but it kind of depends. If nothing else, it'd give you the chance to always have the best character your opponent had.
Yeah.
And then use them for military claim.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then bounce her back to your hand to use her again next turn.
Yep. I mean, that sounds like a real fun Shaga deck. In fact, you know, I already built that Dale Summer Encampment deck for all things Shaga. This Ygritte would slide right in there, and you get all sorts of crazy card advantage with them.
Yeah. So she's going to be fun.
Unless you're on the receiving end.
Yeah, then she's totally not fun.
Yeah, totally. Unfun!
Alright, next up, we have a new Jon Snow. So this is Jon Snow number 3 in the LCG, right? Something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
He is a unique Stark character. He is 3 cost, 2 strength, with a military and a power icon. He is a bastard, he is Night's Watch, and he's a wildling. He has deadly. Also, your wildling characters get +1 strength, and your Night's Watch characters gain immune to events.
Jeez.
There's a lot packed into him. Holy cow. Yeah, he does a lot.
That's what she said.
Power creep? I don't know.
Eh,
not all crazy powerful stuff, but there is a lot of official text packed in there. He's super cost efficient.
He makes up, he has a quantity over quality.
Yes. Well, I don't know.
What?
Immune to events could be good.
Immune to events is awesome.
But Night's Watch sucks.
Night's Watch sucks balls.
Even without a bunch of other Night's Watch in the deck, he's going to be a 3-for-3 military power, deadly, immune to events.
Got in a wildling deck, he's so good.
Which is pretty good. Yeah, an extra +1 to all of your wildlings is going to be huge.
I mean, at that point, he's just strictly worse than Damon Dance for me. If you just look at him like that.
What? No, he's 3
he's not
for
strictly
3
worse because he's not agenda dependent.
He's 3-for-3 and he's immune to events with deadly. That's just if you're not running any agendas or anything.
Well,
that is
if you are or are not is what I was saying for the Damon Dance for me comparison.
Oh right,
because if you are not running an agenda, Damon gets a little better. If your opponent happens to not be running one, he gets worse. Jon Snow is not affected one way or the other by that sort of thing.
Yeah. Wow. I think, man, he's... Man, in a wildling deck?
Yeah. Well, sorry. I guess he can get better with your own agendas. I guess he's not negatively affected.
So much... Oh, man, he's great.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, in a wildling or a Night's Watch deck, he's absolutely really good. But
I just wish he was neutral.
Just as a one-off card, I think I'd rather have Damon Dance for me.
I'd just run a one-off of both in a Stark deck.
That's
they're both very efficient for what those
you would pick Damon Dance for me over Jon Snow. I realize that right now with the current meta, like we're in a heavy environment where everyone's running an agenda, but Jon Snow is not affected by any of that. I just think in a vacuum, Jon Snow is just way better.
Damon Dance for me has an extra keyword. He has a more important second icon and the intrigue icon. He's not killed by Venomous Blade.
He only gets renown if your opponent's running agenda, right? Or if you're not running
agenda. But he has stealth and deadly if your opponent's running an agenda.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I like immune to events just fine.
I also immune to events.
I hate to side with Brett on this one. But if I were forced to only choose between the two, I would pick Damon, but that's on the back of the intrigue icon mainly.
Yeah.
But I'm not forced to just pick.
That's true. Yeah.
I would definitely run both in Stark decks going forward.
Well, that's true.
But, I mean, Night's Watch decks? I don't know. In a vacuum, them being immune to events isn't a huge buff. But looking at the pool, everybody is going to start looking at Westeros bleeds. Do untouchable Night's Watch in a Westeros bleeds deck push them enough?
Dude, run some Learned Crests in there for that outwit on their Valor turn. You just buttered their bread.
You don't even have to do that. You just have to have the old bear.
To cancel it.
God, cost five.
Yep.
Yeah, you can.
And then you use the three-eyed crow to put him back in play.
Yep.
There you go. Oh, yeah, and because Stark has that card. Oh, man. Yeah, Stark's looking real sexy for this next set, huh?
But, I mean, Jon Snow's definitely good. Like, when I say that Daemon Dancer is better, that's still comparing a good card to a good card.
Yeah. Well, right. away from that dispute, perhaps, should we move on to the next card?
We shall.
Okay. This one is a plot that looks crazy.
I really like it, actually.
Yeah. This is Betrayal at the Wall. It's a 1 gold, 11 initiative, 1 claim plot. Its text is, increase the size of your plot deck by 1, limit 1 per plot deck. When revealed, choose and reveal a new plot card if you control 2 or more Night's Watch or Wildling characters. Cannot be canceled. Holy crap.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it just basically, I mean, you win initiative 1 turn.
That's great.
Outside of a take them by surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
When initiative for to reveal your
bumps on a different plot.
Oh, man.
But what, yeah.
That's awesome. That is so good.
Yeah, you get to win initiative and then respond to your opponent's plot with a plot of your choice.
Yeah. I mean, the big one is totally going to be, at least in my mind, flipping it to see if your opponent is going to go with Valor. And if they do, you juke right into the Art of Seduction. Sorry. And if not, then you look elsewhere and try and pin them on the Seduction next turn.
Yeah. I think there's just a lot of application. Even you could just run it so that you win initiative to do your 2-claim plot so that you get to go first.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do with this card, so I'm excited about it.
Fate, if they had Valor.
Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah.
That's the one time I'd want to play a Twist of Fate.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe somehow they're about to screw you with First Snow, you can switch into Forgotten Plans or something. Mm-hmm.
That's actually, like, flipping this with Forgotten Plans. Mm-hmm. There's Forgotten Plans either is awesome for you, just literally nothing, and this lets you be prepared for to make it do something for you if you need it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually a really good application of this.
You'll pretty much always know, I mean, if you are not the Betrayal at the Wall player, you'll pretty much always know when your opponent has it, since it's the only way to make an 8-card plot deck, but...
I mean, how often do you count your opponent's plots before a game?
Well, now, all the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
How many plots are you playing? 8? Okay.
Yep.
It's probably worth checking out. Yeah. I don't know that it will help you combat Betrayal at the Wall, but at least you'll know.
No. They make sure they never have more than, or they never have 2 or more Night's Watch or Wildling characters.
That could be tough.
Pre-plot, try to blank some traits or something.
Yeah. Hey,
I don't know. It's going to be a fun plot for sure for the Night's Watch and Wildling players. So.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be getting a pretty solid boost this set. I mean, this pack even, really.
And then there are a couple other cards that are semi-spoiled. Looks like 3 others. Anusanis, who we can see most of the text of. A House Stark Yoren, who's the first Yoren in the LCG, which I think is awesome because I love that guy. Who's 1 cost, but that's all we can see about him. And then a card called Secret Orders that is House Lannister only, and we can see, again, about half the text.
Yeah. I mean, I think we can see enough about Stannis to make a pretty solid guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's a 4 cost, 3 strength, military power. That's pretty usual with Stannis. Lord, King. He's House Baratheon only. He has renown. And then this is where it's going to get conjectury. But if it is winter, Stannis Baratheon gets +1 strength and gains response after you play an event card, choose a character without any power on it. That character claims one power. Seem pretty close to you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're only really missing a couple words, and that's almost certainly accurate.
Yeah, yeah. After gains, it seems like there's a pretty big gap there, so I'm not sure there's something, like, if it's like a keyword and that response, but it might just be the response that was just too long to fit right after gains.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, he's a king that does not get turned off by other kings,
true.
Though he has to be winter for that ability. Mm-hmm. But that looks like a pretty freaking sweet ability.
Yeah, just a pass power out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you pass the power out for Mel to take off bitches?
That's true.
To kill him?
Yeah.
Exactly. Fun. And secret orders we can see part of. I'm not exactly sure what the effect is. You can see that you have to choose a character, and something lasts till what is likely the end of the phase. Mm-hmm. That character's strength is X.
And base strength is X.
Ah, base strength.
X is the amount of gold in its controllers.
Probably gold pool.
Yeah, when this effect resolves. So yeah. Looks like it messes with strength based on gold.
Which seems weird. I don't know if that'll be very useful. And the kind of reminder text there that it is just when this effect resolves is interesting, but probably really useful to have on the card to stave off questions later, but mm-hmm. I'm just not used to seeing that sort of thing specified on the cards. But, yeah, we'll see. I'm excited about this pack, yeah. Though.
Ygritte's definitely the card of the spoilers.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to be awesome.
Followed, I think, pretty closely by Betrayal at the Wall, because what he does is pretty crazy and new for the game.
I mean, really, all the cards are pretty solid, except Secret Orders, which is kind of average.
I'm hoping maybe there's just part of it we can't quite see that makes it more interesting.
Dude, I hope that Yoren does something dope.
Brett, this next bit was your idea, so why don't you lay it down for the listeners?
I can do that. I've had on the back burner, you know, for a week if we didn't have a topic, wanting to go over like the top five cards of each house, and that kind of evolved into some top 10 lists. So basically over the course of the next couple months, honestly, as we need some topics for some episodes, we'll just whip out a top 10 list, and we're going to go over the top 10 best cards of a specific house. So all six of the main houses and the neutral also. Basically, each of the hosts is going to have a list of 10. We're going to slowly work our way down the list of each host. You know, Daryl will say what card's on his, and then Will and I will be like, oh, we don't have that. Here's why we don't have it. Or, oh, yeah, we do have that. That card's bonkers.
Okay.
Until eventually we get through all the cards that each of the hosts thinks is the most powerful in that house at the time of recording.
Right. And I think this is good. Now that we've wrapped up regional season and there was a huge FAQ update and stuff, I really think these top 10 lists will look reasonably different from how they would have looked, say, 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well.
All right. Okay. So this evening we are going to, I guess, morning or day, whenever you're listening to the show, but we are going to go over the top 10 best cards in House Lannister will be our first up.
Bum.
So, Brett, who's reading their list first, then?
I'll read mine first.
Yeah, I was actually going to suggest Daryl. So,
all right. So my list for top 10 Lannister cards, obviously this week to date, I should say.
You mean this life to date?
Sure. Whatever. The first one is The Power Behind the Throne. Now, I don't know if we were choosing agendas, but I think that this card sort of defines a major archetype for Lannister and definitely... you know, gives him a lot of backbone in a lot of scenarios. So, The Power Behind the Throne, followed by...
I also have Power Behind the Throne on my list.
Same here. I think that agenda's kind of at the top of its game, so to speak, right now.
I saw the total regional season stats today, and Power on the Throne, it wasn't the best quote unquote Lannister agenda, but it was definitely second best as far as like top eight appearances and wins. I can't remember what beat it though, but it was definitely in second.
Rad.
Nice. Okay. The second one is Cersei's scheme.
Daryl, I think you were just looking at my list.
Yeah, because I also have that on mine.
Of course.
That is bonkers good.
It is.
Yeah.
It's real good.
You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You're getting characters now.
Mm-hmm. And it gets even better with card number one, the power behind the throne. You got that extra challenge to throw around.
As long as you can win initiative with that six initiative.
Good odds. Not perfect, but good.
Yeah.
Next up on my list is Margaery Tyrell.
I do not have Margaery Tyrell on my list.
Nor do I, actually.
Really? I'm very surprised.
I thought about her, for sure. Why'd you put her on, Daryl?
I just think she's fantastic as she is by herself, and with other support of other cards around her, she just gets better. I guess the only downside to her is that she has to be attacking in order to use that response, but I still feel like she's going to make it in every deck, and she's real strong as is, and with all the... Well, if there is a lot of support with Tyrells, there's at least a Randall Tarly out there. she only gets better. So...
her ability is still limited, though, so you're not
that's true.
Able to keep using her over and over with Randall, which is a bummer.
Yeah, that's true.
It's still quite good.
So
I don't know. I think she's fine. There's not much wrong with her, but
no.
There are definitely better cards out there.
Carl the Maid is fine. Marjorie Tyrell.
Carl the Maid is better than Marjorie Tyrell. I'll play Carl the Maid in every Greyjoy deck. I have not built a Lannister or Baratheon deck yet that I have
played. Oh my god. You.
I would probably throw Marge in most Lanny decks right now, but not necessarily all of them.
I'd throw in most everything. I don't get it. Anyways, next up is Cersei Lannister, the one out of the Lions of the Rock cycle.
She is also on my list.
Agreed.
I think... Obviously, with Power Behind the Throne and Cersei's scheme, she gets even better. By herself, she's still decent. She still isn't going to kneel to attack during that entry challenge, and not kneeling to attack is excellent in Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, that Noble Crest helps protect her and keep her safe sometimes if she's a centric part of your deck, so that's why she's on there.
Yeah, absolutely. She is maybe the most powerful Lannister character.
Yeah. I could probably get behind that.
Yeah, as far as just bang for your buck, she does more than really anyone else does.
Yeah, a lot of folks complain these days that Lannister's characters have less bang for their buck than other houses, but Cersei is definitely the best bang for their buck in Lanny.
Yeah, she's the best bang.
Yeah, that
too. She is the best bang, absolutely.
Best bang. So,
she's a card that... I don't think I would build a Lannister deck without at least a copy of her. If I were on the Throne deck, 3x, but in any other Lannister deck, at least one, maybe two.
Yeah, I mean, and look at that art.
Yeah,
I've recently discovered, thanks to the Cardboard of the Rings podcast, who interviewed this artist, Magali, which was pretty interesting, but I just recently, now that they kind of brought my attention to that particular artist, I've realized just how much art I love in the LCG games has been done by her, so
yeah,
just throwing that out there.
All right.
Next up on my list is Castellan of the Rock.
Ditto.
Also on my list.
Yeah,
absolutely. Maybe this wasn't a good idea. Yeah.
Not as different as we thought.
Whenever we thought of this, I was like, this isn't going to be a good idea. We're all going to have the same list. Castellan of the Rock, for a very long time, was a staple in every Lannister deck. Now that he's restricted, you see a lot less of him, but, you know... It is absolutely not, you know, non-negotiable. Castellan of the Rock is excellent. Even having a limited response is just such a great card. And you talk about bang for your buck, you know, 3 for 3, intrigue power. Yeah, it has an ally trait, but man, as soon as you play it, you get value out of it. So, love Castellan of the Rock.
Absolutely true. I'm not even sure how accurate it is that he's less popular now. Most Lannister decks I see still play Castellan as a restricted card.
I still almost never choose a different restricted card for Lannister. Almost never. He's just cheap and easy repeatable, you know?
Yep.
Next up on my list is Pentoshi Manor.
Also on my list.
Not on my list.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Pintoshi Manor. I have played Pintoshi Manor for 3 gold before. I put it in my Baratheon of Shy deck. And the worst part is like, yeah, maybe that's a dumb idea, but good God, it worked. That's the worst part, is that it actually still works at 3 gold. It can still be worth it, depending on what your deck does.
I'm surprised you weren't trying it in a burn deck.
Yeah, that could be a good idea, too. The Ashai deck just need a little more support, and I just found Pintoshi to be absolutely worthwhile.
Pintoshi Manor is the only last restricted card I would consider playing aside from Castellan.
So if they, you know, they talk about damned if you do, damned if you don't, you know, you remove that character. Sure, it claims a power. If you keep it in, well, it gets -2 strength and has no keywords. So bye-bye stealth, bye-bye deadly, bye-bye renown. I mean, it's fantastic. So.
Oh, yeah, it's fierce. And once you get more, like if you get 2 or 3 on the board, Will can attest to how difficult it is to play around.
Oh, it is, dude. It just becomes nigh impossible to win challenges unless you're playing, you know, some pretty beefy stuff.
Yeah, so. Next up for me is the Iron Throne, the Lannister Iron Throne.
Also on my list.
Definitely on my list.
Yeah, for a long time. It's still one of my favorite cards in the game. I love canceling character abilities, and the fact that it kneels that character as well is just sexy, and it's at that perfect cost of 2 gold. And it's unique, so it could be a House of Dreams location if you want it to be, and it works out of that still. You know, canceling a Fleabottom Scavenger is by far the best feeling in the world. That's living the dream. Or canceling anything, it just having that guaranteed character ability cancel is just huge. And it can stop orphans, and it just shuts down so many things.
And a character ability cancel and control. So, I mean, if they drop their, you know, I don't know, King Joffrey's Guard. That's a really sad time for them.
Yep. Balerion the Black.
Balerion the Black.
Yep.
Hey, eat it, bitch. You know, it's fantastic. So, wonderful card. Next up on my list, and I don't know if this is going to be on your guys' list, but I still absolutely love this card, is the Golden Tooth Mines.
That is also on my list. Yes.
Oh, nice. Golden Tooth Mines, even early on in the game, was just fantastic. There's nothing better than a passive draw. Obviously, I think we know a little something about passive draw these days with that TLV rolling around. But Golden Tooth Mines was doing it back before it was cool.
Oh yeah, I mean, I go as far as say that in the early days, Golden Tooth Mines was obscene. Now it's just fantastic.
I think Golden Tooth Mines was what made it cool, Daryl.
That's right.
Draw Buster.
Still really good. The best part about this card is that it's non-unique, so you can get 2 or 3 rolling around, and you talk about living the dream.
Yeah, you're near draw cupping every turn just by playing a plot, which you have to do unless you are out of seduction.
Yeah. If these are on your deck, are in your deck, you actually have to look at how many draw cards you have, because once you get a few of them out there, all the other draw on your deck becomes useless. That's how good of a card this is. It will make your deck worse if you dedicate too much into draw. So, you know, enough can't be said about it. It's great. Next up is Pyromancer's Cache.
Almost made my list.
It did make my list.
So Pyromancer's Cache is, it's sexy. It's restricted for a reason. I run it out of house in my Stark Wildling deck because I run Mance Raider and Robb Stark. And, you know, you get Jayne to search for him and all that. It's worth 3 gold to draw 2 cards. It's excellent. There's nothing else I can really say about it. Similar to Golden Tooth Mines, you can't put too many. You know, you have 3 in your deck. You got to watch the rest of the draw in your deck. Otherwise, that becomes useless. That's how good it is. I mean, it's fantastic.
I mean, it's so good it gets played in other houses frequently, and I think that says something.
You see, it's for that reason that it didn't make that ended up not making my list, actually, because it is, in my opinion, better in other houses than Lannister.
Yeah, I can see that. I can get that.
Like, I don't know if I would ever use it in a, like, I guess maybe it's possible, but for the most part, just for my Lannister restricted card, I'm really wanting Castellan or Pintoshi Manor. They have another draw between, you know, Golden Tooth Mines and such like that, that I just don't feel like that Pintoshi Manor, I don't feel like cash is really needed.
Right. I could see that. I feel it's still just a fantastic card, even for that house, especially, you know, since you're going to be running Cersei, and you get instant gratification out of it whenever you play it, rather than the Golden Tooth Mines where you got to wait, you know, that's a true turn. And finally, this last one holds a dear place in my heart and is the bane of probably every player who I beat at Worlds last year, or at Gen Con, rather, or both, whatever. That would be Double Bluff.
Not on my list.
But not on my list. It's on yours. But I do love.
Yeah, this card is absolutely on my list. I feel that at the right times, and certainly in the wrong scenarios for your opponent, this can just absolutely close out a game for you and completely obliterate your opponent. It's going to be better with two claim plots, obviously, but it's just that wild card. You can completely catch somebody off guard. And you can use it defensively if you want to as well. But obviously you're going to get the most bang for your buck using it on offense. But got to love Double Bluff.
Yeah, no one ever expects a Double Bluff.
Damn right. Maybe a single Bluff.
Spanish Inquisition.
Not a double.
Actually, a lot of people expect the Spanish Inquisition nowadays.
Weird.
Yeah, I know. You know. It hasn't been active in hundreds of years, but people are really expecting it.
They're still on the lookout.
Yeah,
they get burned once, and they're worried. That's it.
No, Double Bluff is definitely a cool card, but it is. I mean, it's just so resource intensive that I can't justify being on a top 10 list personally.
Dude, it costs 2 gold, and you're running Lannister. Ain't shit.
Or influence. You see, I'm not fully... the Hollow Hill is seeming popular right now.
I think there's been like 2 people that have ever played that deck.
Yeah, I don't do Lanny Knights of the Hollow Hill. I don't get that, but definitely. I pay 2 gold for it. That's how I roll.
Right, understandable. I'm not shocked it's on your list. I know how much you love that card.
Yeah. So I definitely think it's fantastic. Anywho.
All right, Will, what was on your list that wasn't on Daryl's list?
On my list, not on Daryl's, Sir Aerys Okard.
Also on my list.
Oh, that's
gold
sexy.
Standard for character removal.
Yep.
Character.
Just so outrageously cool. Efficient.
Exactly. Even though there are certain houses that are really light on allies and mercenaries, he still goes in every Lanny deck I build.
Mm-hmm.
He's that good.
Owns
stuff.
Yeah, just for cost, for strength, for icons, for keywords, he's good. And he's a 2-character swing, and a lot of times when you play him.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of times that character is going to be 2 or 3 gold, which really increases that efficiency.
Oh, absolutely. No, yeah, Sir Aerys Okard is absolutely on my list.
If he hit a big mercenary army, all the better.
That's the dream.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Also on my list, not on Daryl's, Enslaved.
Also on my list.
It is so good. Anything that causes a really big swing in that card advantage on the board, it gets it for me. And Enslaved does that just as well as Aerys Okard.
Oh, yeah. Another 2-character swing.
Yeah, even with that cost restriction on it, there's still a lot of great stuff to grab. And the last one on my list, not on Daryl's list, is probably going to surprise you guys. It's a card I personally don't like, or at least never have any good luck while playing it.
Without his beard!
No, it's a House Divided.
That is the number 1 card on my list.
I've included that card is bonkers good. Decks before and have never been able to actually trigger it through.
I destroy fools with the House Divided.
Yeah, it barely got cut out of my list. It's fantastic. Well,
and a lot of the TLV decks right now are pretty like trait heavy with a certain theme, right? So like there's the Martell Army deck that hits on a lot of Dane stuff, it sounds like.
Or armies.
Well, armies and Danes, right?
Yeah.
The Targ stuff with dragons.
Or Dothraki.
Or Greyjoy obviously is going to have 1 million Ironborn, but also potentially a bunch of Raiders. Like, a lot of the popular decks right now are opening themselves up even more to House Divided.
No, House Divided is enormously powerful. It was the first card that I thought of when I thought of the 10 best Lannister cards.
You know, it's kind of weird. It was the first card I added to the list when I was putting mine together. But yeah, those are the only ones I had that were different from Daryl's. Just those three.
Those were the three that were different online from Daryl's.
So you mean you and I literally had the same list?
Yes,
without having communicated at all.
No
about
communication.
This beforehand. Wow. No wonder listeners say the show gets a little boring when you and I are the only two hosts.
We just agree on everything.
Yeah.
God, you guys disgust me. Get a room.
We will. It'll be at the Residence Inn.
Yeah. I hope that I'm pretty sure that the other houses will be a lot different with us. I have a good feeling, but Lannister, I think we all pretty much agree on what's good with Lannister, but I'm looking forward to our Greyjoy and Baratheon and even our Targaryen choices. Martell, maybe not so much.
We will differ more on some of those other houses.
Yeah. So we got the easy one out of the way.
We did. So, props and slops.
Mm-hmm.
Will? Oh, Daryl. Okay. I have a prop. It is to a mobile game that I've been playing on my phone, especially since I hate mobile games and hate apps. 98% of them are garbage and do nothing for me. This one, honestly, is no different. It just seems to have my attention more than others. It is called Puzzle and Dragons. It's basically Pokemon meets Bejeweled, sort of.
Okay.
So something, you know, awesome. Quick to except pass the time.
Except for the Bejeweled part.
It's a lot darker than Pokemon because what happens is you gain other monsters, but then you have your stronger monsters absorb them to gain levels. So.
And by absorb, you mean eat.
Right? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's pretty fun. I mean, it's not going to change your life or anything, and it certainly isn't the highest quality game ever, but it has managed to keep my attention whenever I am, just hanging out on break at work or something like that. You just need to pass a few minutes. It is pretty fun. So Puzzle and Dragon, if you have the iPhone, get it. If you have an Android device, I have no idea if it's available via Android because I haven't checked yet. So try it out.
Will? I have a prop.
Oh.
I'm jumping in there.
Damn it. That's the second time I've done that.
It is to a TV show that I've been watching the season 2 of with Amazon Prime. It is Alphas. I'm a sucker for...
Is that good?
The first season was really good. The second season, I'm only like 3 episodes in, so I'm not really sold yet. It's so far weaker than the first season, in my opinion, but there's a more like overarching plot involved in it. So hopefully by the last couple episodes, it will have changed my opinion as, you know, more pieces start coming into place.
Okay, cool.
You know, it's very, it's basically modern day, quote unquote, legitimate superpowers to where everything is explained by science. And
is Alphas not on Netflix? I could have sworn it was on Netflix.
Season 1 is, season 2 is not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I recommend it if you like superheroes, which I do.
Will?
Yeah. Well, speaking of superheroes, I'm going to give some props to what we just blew a bunch of time looking at before starting the episode. This DC Comics Dreamcasting that I saw via Facebook. Thanks to Elder. It's a post on Imgur with a whole bunch of basically what actors they'd like to see play these DC Comics characters. And, a couple are people that already played them in a movie, for instance, Henry Cavill as Superman in the first one here, but a bunch of other ones are different, like Michael Fassbender as Batman, which by the way, I think would actually be pretty freaking awesome.
It'd be pretty cool. I'm a big Michael Fassbender fan.
Yeah, yeah. Nathan Fillion as Hal Jordan seems perfect.
He's voiced Hal Jordan in a lot of things.
Oh, nice. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that just seems absolutely perfect, not the least of which is Alan Tudyk as Booster Gold. And mm-hmm. for the listeners that are aware of those two people, just really think about that for a minute. You're welcome.
Yeah.
I agree. It was really cool. We wasted a lot of time looking at it.
We really did. What, like 20 minutes probably?
At least.
Yeah, it's pretty rad.
Darrell? I'm going to start calling you.
I do. I have another prop, which is pretty sweet. It's a PS2 game that I've actually been playing recently that I had acquired via my roommate a while ago. And now that I mention it, I actually still owe money for it. I should pay him. It's like I think it was $10. It's called Ys, the Ark of I have no idea how to say that word.
Sounds crazy.
It's some made up word. Anyways, it's a Japanese action role playing game. There's been a ton of games that have been made also for the handheld, you know, mm-hmm. the PlayStation, portable, the PSP, as well as the Vita. I've been putting a few hours into that. It has been super fun. So if you care to pull out your PS2 and hook it up, I recommend it. Even though I have no idea how to say that last word in it, you should find it anyways and play it. It's really fun. I've kind of been on just an older game kick recently. I was playing Final Fantasy Tactics a few weeks ago.
Nice.
And Robin's playing Final Fantasy X right now. And, you know, don't forget about those old games. Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, don't forget all those older games, those really good games. You know, make time for them.
You know, Daryl, I'm going to go the exact opposite of that. I'm going to give a preemptive prop to the new Walking Dead episode coming out this week.
Oh, yeah.
It's not up yet, but I'm preemptively propping it because I'm super excited.
I'm sure it'll be great. I finally finished episode 4. I need to get on 5 at some point here, so I'll be ready for 400 days, but I actually have a different game taking my attention right now that I plan on blowing the 4th of July on. A slightly newer one. I finally picked up Dishonored so I could play it.
Oh.
Ooh, there you go.
And I'm really digging it so far. The world's cool, and the first person sword combat is taking a little getting used to, but with other powers and things available to me, it's getting a little easier to manage.
I mean, well, if you're sword fighting, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I know. The sneaking is the better idea, but
absolutely.
Sometimes my sneaking leaves something to be desired.
That's embarrassing. You brought shame to our family.
Man, I know. I've forgotten the face of my father.
Damn it.
Well, speaking of games, I'm gonna jump over Daryl and talk about a game as well. That I have been process playing, actually, at least you've been playing it more than I have. It's The Last of Us.
Ooh, yeah. Alex was talking about that when we went down for Netrunner, and he said it's amazing.
Yeah. Neither of us are terribly far, and she's like an hour ahead of me, and I'm probably only like 4 or 5 hours in. We just haven't had a lot of time for the video games with the wedding and all, but now our free time is opening up a little bit more, and it is really good. It's really intense. Like, the opening scene is hard to get through. Like, not by, like, not because of difficulty, because of emotions.
Yeah. Alex was telling me about it with the hospital, right?
There's no hospital in the opening scene.
Never mind. I must not be thinking of the right scene he was talking about.
Okay.
My bad. Wait. Or maybe I'm just misremembering where you were trying to get to. Is your daughter involved?
Yes, your daughter's involved.
Okay. I'm just probably misremembering where you're trying to get to.
Okay.
And I'll leave it at that.
Fair enough. Man, it's really good. If you have a PS3, there's really no good reason not to have it. It's the best PS3 game that's been released in a while. It's also really hard on the harder difficulties. Right. All right, Joe, you can take your turn now.
I don't really... Okay, oh yeah, I do have one final prop. It is to this playlist that I created on Spotify that titled These Dreams. It is one of the sexiest playlists I've ever created. It is full of fantastic music that I get drunk and listen to. Not as often as I'd like to, but I just don't drink as much as I used to. But I try to at least once a week for the show.
Thank you for that, yeah. Daryl.
At which I am currently drinking a porter beer called Diesel Punk that I bought the other day just because looked steampunk and it tastes okay.
Now, to be fair, Diesel like Punk is actually a different genre from steampunk.
Son of a bitch. I didn't know that.
Yeah. The two are very closely related, though, but I just learned that a while back when I was reading up on steampunk stuff.
So that's a sub prop to my prop, is to Diesel Punk and to this Spotify playlist. So if you have Spotify, you should listen to this playlist I created, and we can sit and talk about how sexy it is, because it is. It's got everything from the radio department to Anna Monoguchi. Check it out. And also, I think everyone should go ahead and create a petition to make me a Sirius XM DJ. You're welcome.
Okay.
I don't think anyone's going to do that.
Exactly.
I'm not going to do that, definitely.
Damn it.
Will, do you have anything else?
You know, I actually have some pretty magnificent slops.
Okay.
To myself.
Okay, I can get behind that.
So I went down to Tulsa this weekend for their Netrunner event. And, you know, I was in town, in Springfield Friday night, right? Went, hung out with Kristen, did that sort of thing. Saturday, got up early, met up with Alex and his friend Josh to drive down for this event in Tulsa. Had an okay feeling about things, I guess. You know, my goal is just to kind of have fun with Netrunner. And we get down there. It's pretty early. It's like 10:15. So we chit-chat. We do this and that. We go across the street to Brahms and get some breakfast and come back. And as we're coming back, I'm like, okay, I'll get my decks out of the car and carry them in so I can write up a deck list while I eat breakfast. And with 20 minutes to go till the tournament and a big bag of biscuits and gravy in my hand, I discover I have every damn LCG card with me except for the box with my Netrunner decks. I even have the box with all the extra Netrunner cards that were not in decks. I've got my Thrones extras, my Thrones decks. I've got my Cthulhu extras and decks. I've got Lord of the Rings, everything.
Did you have Warhammer Invasion?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow, that's intense.
Not all the extras, just the decks, actually, for Warhammer. And no Netrunner decks. So, slops to me for poor planning skills there and not double-checking. I just assumed that they were with all the other cards in my car. And I assumed wrong. Star Wars also I had, come to think of it.
Okay.
So, yeah. Huge props then to Dodd and Jeff Harris. I say them together like that, though they are not related. They just have the same last name. who had come over to Tulsa from Kentucky for the event and happened to be outside smoking as I discovered this and freaked out. And so they offered to help me out because, you know, Jeff had all his cards with him. And he had like a half-built criminal deck and a half-built Wayland deck, which were what I was planning on playing. So I frantically threw together cards and tried to get it close to what I had been running while Dodd was, you know, quickly writing down stuff on the deck list as I went. So props to those guys. It paid off okay in the end. I was super happy with how the Wayland deck played out. I won every game with it, except for the first. And the criminal deck kind of sucked. But Still, I was able to pull ninth place and just barely miss squeaking into the top eight. So
I'm so embarrassed, Will. You didn't make top eight.
If I had had my own decks, maybe I would have made top eight.
Maybe.
Or if I'd had 5 minutes more to look at that criminal deck and realize, no, I swapped the runner to Gabe instead of Andromeda. So trying to play Underworld Contacts with six worthless cards in there to me, or basically three Dyson Memchips and three Underworld Contacts. I needed to get two Memchips and a Contacts for that to actually do me any good.
That sucks.
Yeah. So if those had been six other useful cards, heck, I don't know, Armitage Code Busting even, I probably would have been able to do a lot better. So.
Fair enough.
But that was my bad. That was definitely my bad, not Jeff's.
I have one last slop, and it is to my job for making me work on the 4th of July.
What?
Oh, that sucks.
That blows.
I mean, I'm going to be making double time and a half, so...
Oh, well...
Wait, double time and a half?
Double time and a half. That's what Chase pays for holidays.
Dude, live the dream. Sort of, but not really. Oh, yeah, you're a guy with a family, so...
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So, which way are they doing that? Are they doing time and a half and then doubling it, or are they doubling it and then giving you half of that?
Time and a half and then doubling it.
Okay.
But yeah. So, slaps to my job and slaps to anyone that calls somewhere on 4th of July. Even if you aren't calling me, it's the spirit of it.
Yeah, you're a dick.
I'm definitely gonna try and call Chase.
Unless you're calling a hospital or something.
No, so you still don't do that. You bleed out. You wait until the 5th of July and then you call the hospital.
That's right. That's
or
right.
Your very, very sad family calls the hospital.
Yeah, either or.
Dude, are you guys missing Game of Thrones yet?
The show? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I was just thinking about that. I was like, you know what I haven't watched in a while? Game of Thrones. Oh, well. All right. Thanks for listening to another fine episode of Two Champs and a Chump.
Catch us next week, same time, same place.
Don't forget to email us and all that jazz, and Twitter us and Facebook us. If you have any suggestions for what you think we should talk about on the show or anything like that, feel free to hit us up. We like to stay interactive, if you will, with our community. So do that.
You probably ought to give them the email address and that sort of thing.
Twochampsonechump@gmail.com. Google Plus is still a thing, I hear.
Yep. I heard rumors.
Barely.
And obviously we have a Facebook. That's it. Oh, we have a Twitter @twochampsone. Is it twochampsonechump? Or is it still two champs and a chump?
It's two champs, one chump, the same way the email address is. Yeah.
Yeah. So get on there. I think, I don't know, I haven't looked at our Twitter. We probably have like 10 followers. Is that right?
You know, it's been a while since I've looked. I keep seeing us generate some followers every once in a while. Of course, we've got everything set up so it cross-posts. So if we post something to Facebook, it'll post over there to Twitter. As well. So let's see how many followers we do have right now. We have 99 followers. So listeners, get out there and follow us. Be that magical number 100 to make us feel good.
There you go. I guess that's it.
See you next week.
Danger Zone. The ghost who never goes away. Turn around and leave us behind now. See the ground as it bleeds to the sky now. You fight the sea, you're always gonna drown.
Daryl, have you not seen Monty Python and the Quest of the Holy Grail?
Not in a very, very long time.
No.
I just remember the part where they're clicking the coconuts.
Gotcha.
Pretty good part.
Well, Sir Robert has really annoying minstrels, and eventually they're forced to eat them. Yeah. There was much rejoicing.
Or that part where he goes, he must be a king. How do you know that? Well, he's not covered in shit.
Yeah.
That part does rule.
And then they get into the political commentary. I like the bit about why should I... I wish I could remember exactly the quote. Something about, why should I follow him just because some watery tart threw him a sword?
If some watery tart were to throw someone a sword nowadays, I'd follow them.
Yeah, I thought that was how most leaders were chosen.
Yeah, that's my preferred method of government.
Yeah. In fact, I think we should probably start choosing the Game of Thrones world champion that same way.
Whoever gets thrown a sword.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was thinking it'd be a little bit like how they throw a bouquet at a wedding.
Oh.
And everybody kind of runs for it.
We'd have so to Robin's going to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'd I was going to
keep
say.
Her out or no one stands a chance.
Yeah, that got ugly real fast.
It really did.
Yeah. I bet Sabrina's got bruises.
I don't know. Her boyfriend had a heck of a sigh of relief, though.
I'm sure he did.
What about Robin's boyfriend, Daryl?
I was screaming, no, no, no!
No, 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 no!
Oh, man.